Turning to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Let's look at that new. Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Isn't that an amen truth? Because His compassions fail not. Nothing like the compassions of God. Nothing can surpass them for God's children having to live in a constant state of warfare with the old man of the flesh that we have that we're bearing with us, although we're new creatures. The compassions of the Lord are what we need. Now listen to verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. That's what we need. And what the Lord is telling us here is that every morning when your eyes blink open, God has prepared in advance for you to have something to make it through the day by. And it is surrounded by His compassions. He's taken thought for what you don't even know is going to occur yet. He's taken consideration for the challenges that He knows you are going to face today. He did that in the night. Or maybe before the foundation of the world, we dare to say that. He's taken thought for what you need today to make it from getting out of that bed till your eyes close in sleep and He gives you His beloved rest. He's taken thought for it. And His compassions have made sure that you will have what you need. Now, we have a lot of challenges, brothers and sisters, that we face every day. And many of us have a lot of sorrow that we carry with us every day. You might think, well, this brother, this sister looks like they're just fine. No, they're not fine. And I know they're not fine because inside of us, we're aware of the warfare. We're aware of the constant resistance of the things of the world and of our old nature that fights against the righteousness of God that we have in us. We're aware of that. And so we have challenges day by day. And sometimes these challenges bring us intense grief. At the very least, a level of sorrow. And so we suffer a lot of disappointment, both from out there and in ourselves. I dare say that children of God that are making a real effort to serve the Lord suffer more disappointment from inward things than they do outward things. The world is going to beat you up, and it doesn't take a child of God long to learn that. It doesn't. He that will live godly in this present world shall suffer persecution, the Lord told us plainly, and so we expect that. We expect to get beat up by the world. And we can take it. We get tough. We're like the boy named Sue. We get tough the longer we live and serve the Lord. But all the inward battles, the things that go on within us, the old man convincing us that this thing is good, so let's go do it. This thing is right, so let's think it. Always warring against the holiness of God that also resides in us. There's that battle going on all the time. And so the inward disappointments of us, for us, are the greatest of all challenges maybe that we go through. We go through so much temptation. We go through so much in personal failure and things of that nature as we live here on earth. These are constant albatrosses about our necks. But for every one of these, His compassions, brothers and sisters, will never fail. They are new every morning. And so we need to realize that God wants us to have a kind of refreshment every day. He doesn't want us waking up and saying, oh me, I got to go and do 8 more hours at that slave house. He didn't want us doing that. We do it. Sometimes we do. And how do we do it? And why do we do it? Because we forget His compassions are new every morning. But for us trying to make a living through the world, for us trying to get through one more day, very often it's like He's locked them away in a steel closet. It's not Him who's locked them away, brothers and sisters. We've locked them away from ourselves. Because I'm convinced from everything that the Scripture points to that God wants us to enjoy life by realizing that we've got a newness in life and we can tap in to the things of God, the compassions that are new every morning, and get what we need to make it through the day. So I want to challenge every one of you that are saved. And you don't have to make a promise to me, but I really would like it if you'd promise it to God. Beginning tomorrow morning, when your eyes pop open for the day, I would like for every one of you to get up and think this. This is a new day. New. As in, God made new. God, today, has laid out a complete new set of mercies for me, for me, for this day. That's where faith can get hold of what God is worth to us in this life. That is where faith can strengthen the feeble knees, lift up the hands that hang down, make a path for us through the dark morass that is the earthly life. And instead of it being a darkened sorrow, a cloudy day, the Son of God will shine for us if we just get hold of this truth as we rise out of bed. New day. God made it. Brother Mark's mother had one of those little plaques on her wall that I saw every time I went into the house in during the time that she was very sick. And it said, "This is the day." It was a song. "This is the day that God hath made." And it said, "Let's rejoice in that day," to paraphrase. "Let's rejoice and be glad in it." And you say, "I want to do that. I really do." But seems like, but. Isn't that the way we do sometimes? Let me just encourage you to promise the Lord that you'll make an effort tomorrow morning when you get up to say, "This is a new day brought to me from God, and His mercies are brand new this morning, and I'm going to seize on those mercies and take them as an advantage from God by which to live." A new day. Not like any other we've ever had. Really not like any that's going to come after. But it's a new, singularly new day with a new selection of mercies. Now, that should cause us to realize and think as we go down that path. It ought to cause us to think that whatever we might be confronted with in the morning or all day long, there are new mercies from God to help us address those things. Whatever they are. I think our failings, failure to ourselves and failure to the Lord, is in getting up, and the first negative thing that whacks us, we fall down in a hole of depression and we forget His mercies are new every morning. If we remember that, Satan can't get that grip on us that he often does when we forget, get negative, and quit calling on God. Psalms chapter 44 and verse 8, the psalmist said this, "In God..." This ought to be our attitude about it too, brothers and sisters. In God, we boast all the day long. And that ought to be the way we conduct ourselves. Wake up to the new day and boast ourselves of God all day long. You know how to stop yourself from going down the hole of depression? Say to somebody, if you have to speak it to there, I'll boast of the Lord. I'll brag about the fact that the Lord has everything I need. That'll cause you to find yourself in the Lord again instead of losing yourself in a hole of depression. In God, we boast all the day long and praise His name forever. So whatever weakness, brothers and sisters, whatever sense of failure, whatever infirmity of the flesh that I experience today, whatever it may be, there's a new mercy of the Lord that He has made available for taking care of that situation. I don't want to overquote it, but you'll remember that the Apostle Paul told us about the fact that he had an infirmity of the flesh. And it must have bothered him greatly. And he said, I pleaded to the Lord. I went to the Lord with this infirmity 3 times, requesting that He remove it from me. Do you remember what the Lord's answer to him was? He said, My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul got the right spirit about that. He didn't say, Yeah, but Lord, that infirmity, it's really eating into me. I don't think I can handle it. He didn't say that. He said, Therefore I will glory in my infirmity. We don't know what kind they were. Why didn't God tell us what kind of infirmity that was? Because He wanted it to be a generic infirmity. He didn't want us knowing a specific infirmity that we might use it against Him in a moment of doubt, lack of faith, and say, Yeah, He gave Paul grace for that infirmity, but mine's different. So He made it generic, didn't He? Any infirmity, whatever it was, we'll never know till we get to heaven what it was. But I'll tell you what we can know. It fits any and every infirmity that we have. And you know, infirmity covers a lot of ground. It's not just about having a leg out of whack. It's not just about having a limp because your ankle's broken. It's not just about having blindness in one eye or poor vision in both of them. It's not just about having headaches all the time. It's not about any of those specifically. It's about all of those. And it's also about infirmities called too much anxiety, worrying too much, a loved one that tries your patience, kids that just wear you out trying to keep up with them. It's all of these things, every one of them included in those infirmities. And we may trust in God that there is mercy new every morning in the form of great grace. Grace, unmerited favor. Because whatever He gives us like that is in fact unmerited favor. So the mercy of God for us can be the unmerited favor that He gives to us to take care of it, to handle it, to bear with it, to suffer with it, and to praise Him and glorifying nevertheless. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness.